It is good to see each and every one of you here again this Lord's Day, the first day of the week, a day in which we have, as God's children, to assemble ourselves together to come and worship Him. And certainly it is worth praise to know that those of us who are God's children have been forgiven and we are His children. I hope that when this service and this day is over, you can go home and be prepared to face the week that is in front of us, if it be God's will and we live here upon this earth, that today you will be edified and built up and encouraged to live your life more like Christ as you can as each day that we live. In the Gospels of Matthew, Mark and Luke, we have given to us the account of when Jesus and His disciples came together to celebrate the Passover feast. It is also at this time in which this celebration that would take place between Jesus and His disciples, that Jesus would give instructions concerning the Lord's Supper, and He would institute the Lord's Supper. And in the words of Luke in his gospel, after Jesus gave thanks and broke the bread and they partook of it, I want you to notice what it was that Luke records when Jesus spoke the words that he did when he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." These are the words that Jesus spoke as He gave instructions concerning what the apostles and what the Christians and God's children would do upon the first day of the week. These words, "this do in remembrance of me," is inscribed in perhaps most tables in churches across the country that the bread and the fruit of the vine rest upon each first day of the week for the purpose of remembering the words that Jesus spoke, "this do in remembrance of me." These words were to remind, and they are to remind us all of what we are to remember when we partake of the bread and the fruit of the vine. And I know that it hasn't been too long ago that I presented to you a lesson concerning the Lord's Supper, and today's not going to be one of those. But I'm getting up to the lesson. We are to remember the sacrifice that Jesus made upon the cross for our sins. We are to remember the blood in which He shed so that we might have the forgiveness and the remission of our sins. Remembering something of great value is significant, especially in the eyes of God. It's important that God's children remember. And again, God has always given man or His children something to remind them of the things that God did for them and the things that God will continue to do for them, some of which I have mentioned before in previous lessons, like the rainbow. The rainbow is put into the sky so that not only man will remember, but God will remember as well the covenant that He made that He would never destroy the world or the earth again but water. The Passover, in which Jesus and His disciples were celebrating at this particular time, was given to the children of Israel for the purpose of knowing that God passed over them when He struck Egypt with the plague of killing the firstborn. And there are many other feasts and days which were set aside as memorials so that God's children would always remember certain things. Separate from these memorials, we are approaching our own Memorial Day, in which will be celebrated by many tomorrow. A day that has been set aside, as I have mentioned, I know, at least two times in the past, for the people of this country to remember those who have passed on, to remember those who had fallen in their service to the people of this country. That's what this day is. A day of memorial. But like most, it's a day that we get off work. It's a day which we come together as family and with friends, and we have cookouts, we have barbecues, we have recreation, and there's nothing wrong with that. But it's also a day that marks the unofficial beginning of summer. And there's nothing wrong with referring to it like that either. But one thing that is, and that is when we fail to remember, when we neglect what this day is and what it means for us. Because if we do that in the world, in this country, then is it not easy for us to do the same when it comes to the memorials that God has set for us? This is the reason why Jesus gave to His disciples that night the Lord's Supper, so that they may be reminded from week to week what it was that He had done for them, or what it was He was going to do for them, and what it is He continues to do. Today I want to look at a couple of other memorials found in the Word of God. Looking at why they were even more memorials to begin with, and for what purpose they served. Going all the way back into the book of Genesis. In Genesis chapter 28, we read of such a memorial stone. This is not any ordinary stone, but this is a stone that was set up as a memorial for the things God did for Jacob. You begin reading in verse 10 of chapter 28, and you'll see that where Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and he tarried there all night, because the sun was set, and he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. I can't imagine that that could have been comfortable at all. Putting your head or resting your head upon a rock. I've tried that before and I didn't last long. But nevertheless, that's what Jacob did. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the God, Lord God of Abraham, thy father, the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And when Jacob woke up, He said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? There is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil up on the top of it. And he called the name of the place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. We read of these promises that God made unto Jacob. We read of them when he made the same promises to Abraham. But on this particular occasion, Jacob had received the blessing from his father Isaac. And his father Isaac told him to go into another land to find a wife. And it was for that reason that Jacob left. And when Jacob reached a certain area, he, like most anyone, grew tired and laid down for the night, for a night's rest. And it was during that rest that he dreamed, a dream that we teach our young children at a very early age concerning Jacob's ladder. And after Jacob had dreamed what he did, he realized that the place in which he rested was a special place. And that when he set that pillar up and he poured oil upon that stone, that he made a vow unto God and said that if God gives him bread and raiment, if God gives him everything that he promised, he would give God in return a tenth of everything. Well, you may remember that a few years later, Jacob had to be reminded by God of what he had vowed and what he was instructed to do. God had blessed Jacob more than he had blessed his father-in-law. Of all the flocks that his father-in-law possessed, Jacob was given more because of the bargain that they made together. So God appears to Jacob and reminds him, Jacob, you remember the vow you made to me that if I gave you all these things that you would return to your father's land? Jacob needed to be reminded of that stone. That stone that was set up as a memorial that he made, that he erected, for the purpose of remembering everything God had given unto him. But you know, there's another example found in the Old Testament where stones were set up as a memorial. This time it would be with the children of Israel in the book of Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 4, we read of such stones. But before all of that, we understand and we learn that as the children of Israel was being led to the promised land as God had promised them when they left Egypt, that it was Joshua's turn to do the leading. And as they were on their way to the land of Canaan, they came into the river Jordan. And it was there that for 3 days they camped. And with instructions, Joshua would come unto them and he would give them and tell them the time in which they would cross over and to begin to possess the land in which God had promised. Notice beginning in chapter 4 and in verse 1 that it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. When Joshua gave these instructions concerning the crossing of Jordan, he instructed where they would cross and when they would cross. Joshua also gave instructions to the priest by telling them that as soon as you step into the water, that the Lord is going to rest upon it and going to cut off the waters that flow in the Jordan. The one thing that if you go back and look at and keep in mind, that at this particular time, Scripture tells us that the Jordan was overflowing its banks. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen some rivers that overflow their banks, and the last thing that this boy wants to do is to step foot in it. Because I understand and I know the dangers and the risk that are involved, and how intimidating and how fearful it could have been to step into these waters that were being flooded by the high hills, the high elevations where the water was running off of. But nevertheless, Joshua gave those instructions to the priest. So the priest who carried the ark of the covenant of the Lord did exactly what Joshua instructed them to do, and they stepped into the water. And just as soon as they stepped into the water, they were on dry ground. Just as they had done when they crossed the Red Sea. God said that the waters would part because he was going to come down and rest upon them. And he did that until every one of them was completely on the other side, just as he had done when they crossed the Red Sea. Then Joshua gives the instructions concerning the 12 stones. These stones were to be taken from the Jordan River. They were to be set up for the purpose of a memorial that would remind them of everything that God did for them that day and how the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River on dry land. There would be another set of 12 stones that would be carried with them and set up in the city of Gilgal. And these stones would be set up for the very same reason that the first ones were in the first few verses. Notice, beginning at verse 19, in the same chapter 4. And the people came up out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho, and those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan before you, until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, and that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. One day, Joshua tells them, one day your children are going to ask you, what is the purpose for these stones? What does it mean? And you're going to tell them that they are to remember the crossing of the Jordan River. You're going to explain to your children that they are to remember that a great miracle was done on that day. You're going to explain to them that they are to remember that they crossed this river safely by the mighty hand of God. On this day that we come together on the first day of the week, what do you remember? On this day, the first day of the week, what is it that you remember? When you come together to worship God, what is it that you tell your children? When you come together upon the first day of the week and they ask, why? Mom, Dad, why do we go to church on Sunday? What do you tell them? When they ask you, when the bread is being passed and the fruit of the vine, why do you partake of that? What do you tell them? The short answer, we just do. But is that the right answer? No. You explain and you teach your children the same thing that the children of Israel were when they crossed the Jordan River and they ask, why are these 12 stones sitting here? You remind them that it is upon the first day of the week in which we come together to worship God, you tell them that it is the day that we remember the birth and the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a day that God has set aside for us to come together to worship Him. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, you explain to them that the bread is the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fruit of the vine is His blood that He shed upon the cross for our sins. If you don't explain it, they're never going to know it. Just as it would have been with the children of Israel when they ask what these stones mean. Get away from me, kid. I don't have time to tell you. I don't have time to explain it. And you know what happens. Memorials are set up for a reason, for a purpose. And these reasons and purposes are important. They were important to God, because if they were not have been, then God would have never gave Joshua instructions to set them up. Neither would have Jesus give the disciples instructions. When they observed the Passover feast, that when you do this in remembrance of me. What is it that you remember when you come together up on the first day of the week? What is it that you remember Monday through Saturday? Do you remember everything that God and His Son has done for you, and that continues to do for you? Do you remember that Jesus gave His life so that you might have eternal life? If you remember that, have you done anything about it? Have you been baptized and been added to the Lord's church? Do you remember that you must live faithfully unto Him? Once you become a child of God, you are to remember that you are to live your life for Him. Do you remember? Are you living faithfully? In either way, if there is any reason, any purpose, that anyone who is here this morning, who needs to make their lives right with God, who needs to become a child of God, we're here to do whatever we can with you and for you, to see that you make this day a day to remember. If you're here and subject in any way, we invite you to come now as together we stand and sing.